What on earth is that? That's not worship. That's not how you praise Yahshua. You praise Yahshua with every fiber of your body. The Yahshuan Radio Network is giving you the best sermons on the internet, the best teachers on the internet, and we are breaking some stained glass windows.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commands for a thousand generations.
It happened one day that the sons of God came to serve Yehovah, and among them came the adversary, or Satan. Yehovah asked the adversary, "Where are you coming from?" The adversary answered Yehovah, "From roaming the earth, wandering here and there." Yehovah asked the adversary, "Did you notice my servant Job? There's no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil." The adversary answered Yehovah, "Is it for nothing that Job fears God? You've put a protective hedge around him, his house and everything he has. You've prospered his work, and his livestock are spread out all over the land. But if you reach out your hand and touch whatever he has, without doubt he'll curse you to your face." Yehovah said to the adversary, "Here, everything he has is in your hands, except you are not to lay a finger on his person." Then the adversary went out from the presence of Yehovah. Evil, destruction, death, pain, sorrow. Common theology likes to use this one portion of scripture to describe and even completely define how Yehovah operates. I'm going to assume that you are pretty familiar with the story of Job. His home, flocks, herds, children, all gone with the work of the adversary, with Yehovah's permission. Let's see Job's response, then we'll go on and study some more about exactly what we can expect from Yehovah regarding the terror we see happening around us. Job 1:21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. Yehovah gave, Yehovah took. Blessed be the name of Yehovah." In all this, Job neither committed sin nor put blame on God. Chapter 2, verse 7, his wife asked him, "Why do you still hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he answered her, "You're talking like a low-class woman. Are we to receive the good at God's hands but reject the bad?" In all this, Job did not say one sinful word. Job 3:25, "For the thing I feared has overwhelmed me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quiet, no rest, and this anguish keeps coming." Job 4:1, then Eliphaz spoke up. Verse 7, "Think back. What innocent person has perished? Since when are the upright destroyed? What I see is that those who plow sin and sow trouble reap just that. At a breath from God they perish. At a blast from his anger they are consumed. The lion may growl, the king lion may roar, but that old lion's teeth are broken, so the lion succumbs from lack of prey, and the lion's cubs are scattered." Job 4:18, "Yehovah doesn't trust his own servants. He finds fault even with his angels. Much more those living in houses of clay whose foundation is in the dust. They are crushed more easily than a worm. Shattered between morning and evening, they perish forever, and no one takes notice." Chapter 5, verse 17. "How happy the person whom God corrects. So don't despise Shaddai's discipline, for he wounds, but he bandages the sore. His hands may strike, but they also heal. He will rescue you from 6 disasters. Yes, in 7 no harm will touch you. In famine he will save you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You will be shielded from the lash of the tongue, and you won't have to fear destruction when it comes. You'll be able to laugh at destruction and famine. Job 11:7. Can you penetrate God's depths? Can you find out Shaddai's limits? They're as high as heaven. What can you do? They're deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their extent is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes through, puts in prison, and assembles for judgment, who can prevent him? For he knows when people are worthless, so if he sees iniquity, won't he look into it? An empty man can gain understanding, even if he was born like a wild donkey. If you will set your heart right, if you will spread out your hands toward him, if you will put your iniquity at a distance and not let righteousness remain in your tents, then, when you lift up your face, there will be no defect. You will be firm and free from fear, for you will forget your misery. You'll remember it like a flood that passed through you long ago. Your life will be brighter than noon. Even its darkness will be like morning. You will be confident because there is hope. You will look around you and lie down secure. You will rest and no one will make you afraid. Many will seek your favor. But the eyes of the wicked will fail to find comfort. They will find no way to escape, and their hope will turn to complete disappointment. Here we see that Job and his friends are well aware of the situation that has occurred in the realm of sin and repentance. They reiterate to Job, and Job appends, that when sickness, sorrow, and distress occur, there is a sin or misguided step behind the situation, and the only way to solve the issue is teshuvah, repenting and returning. Finally, after Job's friends have encouraged Job to relieve himself of the responsibility of Yehovah, Job and our Creator have an exchange where the Father and Job have a reckoning with one another. Job realizes he can do nothing of himself. Job 42:1. Then at last Job gave Yehovah this answer: I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this hiding counsel without having knowledge? Yes, I spoke without understanding of wonders far beyond me which I didn't know. Please listen and I will speak. You said, I will ask questions and you give me answers. I had heard about you with my ears, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I detest myself and repent in ashes and dust. While his friends, who were less than faithful to Job as a friend, or Yehovah as proper vessels of clay, they were expected to repent themselves and make things right with God. Job 42:7. Yehovah said to Eliphaz, my anger is blazing against you and your two friends, because unlike my servant Job, you have not spoken rightly about me. So now, get yourselves 7 young bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. My servant Job will pray for you, because him I will accept, so that I won't punish you as your boorishness deserves, because you have not spoken rightly about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, Bildad, and Suhi, and Sophar went and did what Yehovah had ordered them to do, and Yehovah accepted Job's prayer. Verse 10, chapter 42. When Job prayed for his friends, Yehovah restored his fortunes. Yehovah gave Job twice as much as he had before. It's so easy to read this exchange between Job and Yehovah and assume that all good things always come from Yehovah, and all bad things always come from the fallen angel. However, Scripture, taken in its entirety, refutes that concept. Let's look at Nineveh, a horrible, disgusting town from Yehovah's perspective, full of idolatry, lust, and general lack of adherence to the Torah. Jonah, we know that guy, he was a prophet sent by Yehovah's command to tell the wicked city and its inhabitants just what to expect in the coming days if, true prophets always include the if they didn't change their ways in Tishuvah. Jonah 1:1. The word of Yehovah came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it that their wickedness has come to my attention. As he tried to escape Yehovah, the great storm ensued, and the boat that he traveled on was in great peril. The sailors on board determined it was Jonah, and even after Jonah told them, toss me overboard, the sailors valiantly tried to continue without tossing Jonah. Soon the storm became too fierce to ignore any longer, and the sailors cried out. Jonah 1:13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard, trying to reach the shore, but they couldn't because the sea kept growing wilder and wilder against them. Finally, they cried to Yehovah, please don't let us perish for causing the death of this man, and don't hold us to account for shedding innocent blood, because you, Yehovah, have done what you saw fit. Then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. Seized with great fear of Yehovah, they offered a sacrifice to Yehovah and made vows. Here we see a violent storm created by Yehovah to the end of, number one, reaching Jonah and establishing his obedience, and two, reaching the sailors. They repented and made vows and worshipped. Just in this short segment, we see disaster that has created believers, but there's more. Jonah 3:3. So Jonah sent out and went to Nineveh, as Yehovah said. Now Nineveh was such a large city that it took 3 days just to cross it. Jonah began his entry into the city and had finished only his first day of proclaiming, "In the next 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown," when the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Chapter 3, verse 7. By decree of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock is to put anything in his mouth. They are to neither eat nor drink water. They must be covered with sackcloth, both people and animals, and they are to cry out to God with all their might. Let each of them turn from his evil way and from the violence they practice. Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind, relent, and turn his fierce anger, and then we won't perish. The residents of the city and the king realized their wicked ways, repented, and returned before the destruction. Therefore, their utter destruction, like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, as prophesied, was averted. Jonah 4:1. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to Yehovah. Now, Yehovah, didn't I say this would happen when I was still in my own country? That's why I tried to get away to Tarshish ahead of time. I knew you were a God who was merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in grace, and that you relent from inflicting punishment. Therefore, Yehovah, please, just take my life from me. It's better for me to be dead than alive. Yehovah asked, is it right for you to be so angry? Jonah left the city and found a place east of the city where he made himself a shelter and sat down under it in its shade to see what would happen to the city. Yehovah prepared a castor bean plant and made it grow up over Jonah to shade his head and relieve his discomfort. So Jonah was delighted with the castor bean plant. But at dawn the next day, God prepared a worm, which attacked the castor bean plant so that it dried up. Then when the sun rose, God prepared a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so hard that he grew faint and begged that he could die, saying, I would be better off dead than alive. God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be so angry about the castor bean plant? He answered, yes, it's right for me to be so angry that I could die. Yehovah said, you're concerned over the castor bean plant, which cost you no effort. You didn't make it grow. It came up in a night and perished in a night. So shouldn't I be concerned about the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, not to mention all the animals? Here we learn that with repentance and change, certain disaster can be avoided, and Yehovah himself states in Ezekiel 32, therefore, house of Israel, I will judge you, each of you, according to his ways, says Adonai Elohim. Repent and turn yourselves away from all transgressions, so that you will not be a stumbling block that brings guilt upon you. Throw far away from yourselves all your crimes that you committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, house of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. So turn yourselves around and live. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you, pardoning the sin and overlooking the crimes of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in grace. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will throw all their sins into the depths of the sea. With the Japanese earthquake this weekend and the ensuing tsunami, there was much chatter about judgment, consequences, wrath of Yehovah, etc. At this period of time, the Akharit Hayamim, or the end of the age, there is no specific way to define exactly what the heavenly explanation is for the tragedy, but we are told by Yeshua himself, Matthew 24:6, "You will hear the noise of wars nearby and the news of wars far off. See to it that you don't become frightened. Such things must happen, but the end is yet to come. For peoples will fight each other, nations will fight each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various parts of the world. All this is but the beginning of the birth pains." End time shaking is definitely a viable option, but we must also remember this, Isaiah 55:6. "Seek Yehovah while he is available. Call on him while he is still nearby. Let the wicked person abandon his way and the evil person his thoughts. Let him return to Yehovah, and he will have mercy on him. Let him return to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Yehovah." Judgment is also a viable option according to Scripture. Many, many times the Philistines were allowed to plunder Israel, Babylon allowed to take her captive, early and latter rains withheld to create a spirit of awareness of just who is in charge. So we do well to remember these items in Scripture that deal with judgment, on a national level or a personal level, for Yehovah is no respecter of persons. Exodus 33:19. "He replied, I will cause all my goodness pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce the name of Yehovah. Moreover, I show favor to whomever I will, and I display mercy to whomever I will." Let's read the advice of the ones who have gone before us, so we too can see and appreciate judgment, for it is indeed a blessing. Time and again, when judgment is rendered in any circumstance, the words are stated so that they will know that I am Yehovah. Remember, these acts of judgments come from none other than the Father himself. He gives credit to no one else, nor should we. Isaiah 42:6. "I, Yehovah, called you righteously. I took hold of you by the hand. I shaped you and made you a covenant for the people to be a light for the goyim, so that you can open blind eyes, free the prisoners from confinement, those living in darkness from the dungeon. I am Yehovah. That is my name. I yield my glory to no one else, nor my praise to any idol." We see judgments in Torah, Deuteronomy 1:42. "But Yehovah said to me, tell them, don't go up and don't fight, because I'm not there with you. If you do, your enemies will defeat you. So I told you, but you wouldn't listen. Instead, you rebelled against Yehovah's orders, took matters into your own hands, went up into the hill country where the Emory living in that hill country came out against you like bees, defeated you and chased you all the way back. You returned and cried before Yehovah, but Yehovah neither listened to what you said nor paid you any attention. This is why you had to stay in Kadesh as long as you did." Deuteronomy 4:1. "Now Israel, listen to the laws and rulings I am teaching you in order to follow them so that you will live. Then you will go in and take possession of the land that Yehovah, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In order to obey the mitzvot of Yehovah your God, which I am giving you, do not add to what I am saying and do not subtract from it. You saw with your own eyes what Yehovah did at Baal Peor, that Yehovah destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. But you who stuck with Yehovah your God are still alive today, every one of you." Deuteronomy 8:3. "He humbled you, allowing you to become hungry, then fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had ever known, to make you understand that a person does not live on food alone, but on everything that comes from the mouth of Yehovah. During these 40 years, the clothing you were wearing didn't grow old and your feet didn't swell up. Think deeply about it. Yehovah was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his child. So obey the mitzvot of Yehovah your God, living as he directs and fearing him." Deuteronomy 11:16. "But be careful not to let yourselves be seduced so that you turn aside, serving other gods and worshiping them. If you do, the anger of Yehovah will blaze up against you. He will shut up the sky so that there will be no rain. The ground will not yield its produce, and you will quickly pass away from the good land Yehovah is giving you." We see examples of judgments in the prophets. 1 Samuel 7:3. "Samuel addressed all the people of Israel. He said, if you are returning to Yehovah with all your heart, Then be done with the foreign gods and Ashtaroth that you have with you, and direct your hearts to Yehovah. If you will serve him only, he will rescue you from the power of the Philistines. Micah 6:9. The voice of Yehovah he calls to the city, and it is wisdom to fear your name. Listen to the rod and to him who commissioned it. Are there still ill-gotten gains in the house of the wicked, still the detestable short ephah measure? Should I declare innocent wicked scales in a bag of fraudulent weights? The rich men there are full of violence. The inhabitants tell lies with tongues of deceit in their mouth. Therefore I am starting to strike you down, to destroy you because of your sins. Isaiah 1:16. Wash yourselves clean. Get your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Defend orphans. Plead for the widow. Come now, says Yehovah, let's talk this over. Even if your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Even if they are red as crimson, they will be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of Yehovah has spoken. Isaiah 9:17. Therefore Adonai takes no joy in their young men, and has no compassion on their orphans and widows, for everyone is ungodly and does evil. Every mouth speaks foolishly. Even after all this, his anger remains, and his upraised hand still threatens. Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit inside you and cause you to live by my laws. Respect my rulings and obey them. You will live in the land I gave to your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Daniel 4:26. Speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. But since it was ordered to leave the stump of the tree with its roots, your kingdom will be kept for you until you have learned that heaven rules everything. Therefore, your majesty, please take my advice. Break with your sins by replacing them with acts of charity, and break with your crimes by showing mercy to the poor. This may extend the time of your prosperity. Psalm 33:4. For the word of Yehovah is sure, and all his work is trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the grace of Yehovah. Psalm 94:12. How happy is the man whom you correct, Yah, from whom you teach from your Torah, giving him respite from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For Yehovah will not desert his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Justice will once again become righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Proverbs 6:23. For the mitzvah is a lamp, Torah is light, and reproofs that discipline are the way to life. Ecclesiastes 1:9, which where the Hebraic thought of what has happened will happen comes from. What has been is what will be, what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there something of which it is said, see, this is new? It existed already in the ages before us. And from these wise words, we can definitely know that we can take lessons from what we're learning in the Torah. The author of Hebrews reminds us of what was spoken in Deuteronomy 4 in Hebrews 12, verse 4. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in the contest against sin. Also, you have forgotten the counsel which speaks with you as sons. My son, don't despise the discipline of Yehovah or become despondent when he corrects you. For Yehovah disciplines those he loves and whips everyone he accepts as a son. Regard your endurance as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons, for what son goes undisciplined by his father? All legitimate sons undergo discipline, so if you don't, you're a slave and not a son. Furthermore, we had physical fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them, and how much more should we submit to our spiritual father and live? For they disciplined us only for a short time, and only as best as they could, but he disciplines us in a way that provides genuine benefit to us and enables us to share in his holiness. Now all discipline, while it is happening, does indeed seem painful, not enjoyable. But for those who have been trained by it, it later produces its peaceful fruit, which is righteousness. So strengthen your drooping arms, steady your tottering knees, and make level path for your feet, so that what has been injured will not get wrenched out of joint, but rather be healed. Keep pursuing shalom with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Yehovah said to Moshe, Speak unto Aaron and his sons. Tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Yivareka, Yehovah, Yishmareka. Yair, Yehovah, Panaf, Eleka, Vikuneka. Yisa, Yehovah, Panaf, Eleka, Vayesem, Lekka, Shalom. In this way, they are to put my name on the people of Israel, so that I will bless them.
Then shall we go if we follow unto This is Pastor Jim with Passion for Truth Ministries on the Yeshuan Radio Network.